Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to chat to my friends about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
Good morning.
What's up, Russell?
How are you, my G-Force?
Good, dude. How are you?
I'm lekker, man. I'm fucking sweating my balls off.
Yeah. It's been wild.
It's been so wild.
It's been like the hottest summer in Johannesburg history.
The little Swedish girl was right. Shame on all of us. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for popping in to our lovely video store. We've got some aircon going. I mean, the kind of video store that's got the little ribbons over the aircon so that we can tell that it's on.
Yes.
We are here for our Clerks episode. Uh-huh. So it's myself and Graham.
Hello.
Graham is an editor. We're not working at the video store and very much the producer of this podcast. Mm. And my name is Russell. I'm the owner of The Bioscope, which is a cinema here in Johannesburg. And we're just having ourselves a fat chat here.
Yeah.
It's been a tough few days. I want to get into it. I want to talk about how our projector overheated.
Oh, fun.
And how we had to refund some folks.
Oh, my Lord.
But we have figured out plans. We have paid a bomb for a new aircon system that's coming in. So we're figuring it out.
Hey, yay, yay.
Sure. Oh, ooh, look who it is. Look who's coming. Look who's heading.
Hi, guys.
Look who's heading towards the video store.
Hi. How are you guys?
What's up, dude?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
It's Vesh.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
You know Vesh, Graham?
Yes, absolutely, from our screenings.
Yeah. If I can tell someone mm-hmm. what I take the greatest joy in, you know, in my life, there's some very exciting, very cool things that we do. And yes. The one is the fact that there is this kind of regular schedule of movie premieres that we all get to go to.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so fun. I love doing it.
And you are someone who we've come to know.
Yeah.
You're like a friend I've really come to make, and I've probably seen more of you than most members of my family.
Yeah, same. I mean, I spend more time with you than I do with my family at dinner. Yeah.
And I really love it. And I sometimes think back to, you know, 16-year-old Russell would be fucking stoked at the schedule. The fact that we get to watch these movies in advance, the fact that we don't pay.
Yes.
I haven't paid for a movie ticket in a long time. But that we get to actually build this community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we, you know,
it's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Nice. And you get to see old Leon and Kimberly.
Yeah.
Mm,
she's a treat.
She's awesome.
She's the gift that keeps giving. Like, honestly, the more you talk to Kimberly. And I'd actually love to get her on the show, so you guys will come to meet her.
Yeah,
she's a treat. But halfway through Lee, I discovered she was a Victoria's Secret model.
I was just about to mention that. I was just about to mention that. Yeah,
I was like, what? She just keeps telling you all the coolest stories. okay, but let's have ourselves a chat.
Let's do it.
I think we're going to talk a little more TV today.
Cool.
Because I don't think there were any like huge movies that we went and watched and saw.
No. Okay. I mean, there was The Lion King, but none of us went.
A couple Netflix movies.
Good old Mufasa.
Yeah.
We didn't have the chance to see it, so so we won't talk about it. Should we start with a little Hey, Did You Guys See?
Yes, we should.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Who wants to kick it off?
I can kick things off.
All right.
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for 28 Years Later?
I did.
Hey.
It looks cool. It was a great trailer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. Good trailer. I think it was one of the more like well-built trailers I've seen this year. It was so uncomfortable and freaky. I loved it.
You can definitely feel trailers go through fads where everyone makes trailers that sound like the other trailers.
Yes.
And then a new sort of little device comes in and then all trailers sound like that.
Yeah.
Like recently there was the cover of a song you know, done in a sort of whimsical, weird way where you're like, I know this. This is Guns N' Roses, but it sounds weird. And then it's very like percussive.
Mm.
So it's very like chick, chick, boom, pick, pick, boom.
Yeah.
And it's always like gun lock, explosion.
Yes.
And it's timed and it's timed and it's timed and there's like a rhythm, there's like a beat.
Or it's like a rap song, very slow.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But this one is interesting. It's got that woman's voice.
Yes.
Talking in a sort of old way, and it just... I've never watched any of them.
Okay. See,
so neither have I. Yeah.
Okay. So I've seen 28 Days Later, but I haven't seen 28... What is it called? 28 Weeks Later?
Yeah.
Okay. So 28 Days Later was a Danny Boyle movie written by Alex Garland.
Hmm. So brilliant. Is this one.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So 28 Weeks Later, they weren't involved, as far as I know, but now 28 years later, they're back.
The original team's back together.
Yeah.
What is the basic idea? Zombie apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything unique about the zombies?
God, I don't remember the movie all that much.
I would say it's more realistic, like, if the zombies don't eat, they die of starvation.
Yes, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Is that what's happening in this one?
Yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just, because I like Danny Boyle, and especially Alex Garland. Like, that dude's a great screenwriter.
Yeah.
I think that's like the big draw for this.
Yeah.
And Cillian Murphy's back. It's one of his early roles, was the first one.
I think the Bioscope should try and do a little marathon.
Yeah.
It could be a bit grueling, but it could be cool. No, I'm down for 28 years later.
Yes.
And I think it'll be on my Bioscope release list.
Also, kind of like the gimmick with this one is it's all been shot on iPhones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. The first one was shot all on... I think it was all shot on video. It was like
SD camcorder.
Yeah, DV, yeah.
Yep.
Which is like very unusual, except for like the very last scene of the movie. And there's this like massive jump in like visual quality right at the end, and it's a bit jarring.
Yeah.
But it's probably intentional. But this one's all shot on iPhones. Sort of.
Yeah, they're like, they say that, but...
It is shot on iPhones, but if you look at the rig that they're using, your iPhone is never going to look like that. Because it's like in this whole housing thing, and it's got an adapter that where they can use cinema lenses.
Yeah, it's like $80,000 worth of camera equipment plus the iPhone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like the iPhone sensor, but it's going through, you know, the high-end cinema quality lenses.
I remember someone saying that box that you can attach to your camera does nothing more than up your cinematography fee. it adds no value, but it just makes you look more pro. Hey, did you guys see the music video for Coldplay's All My Love?
I heard about this. I know it's got...
Didn't know about it, no.
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke, thank you.
Oh, so awesome. It's very cool. And it's directed by Spike Jonze.
Oh, what? Okay.
And it feels like they sort of just banged it out in the afternoon.
Really?
Which is great. Which is kind of all you really want.
Because
you want to keep music videos fresh and different.
Yeah.
But we know Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. This oak's been a staple in the world of entertainment.
Yeah.
And he's now heading towards, and I think currently celebrating his 99th birthday.
Whoa.
But he just looks like the nicest, coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
And so this music video involves, I think they must have shot it at his house.
Okay.
But at one point, Chris Martin is playing this beautiful, mostly piano ballad song.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Van Dyke is like dancing, you know. And it when it starts cutting to him dancing in Mary Poppins and doing similar moves, it's the most heartwarming, like beautiful music video. It's totally worth your time.
Nice.
And you... enjoy it because the song is going to be used in weddings and by everyone for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like built for weddings.
Right.
That's awesome.
Okay.
All right. So, hey, did you guys see, this is a bit connected to your one, Alex Garland has got a new movie coming out with Ray Mendoza called Warfare.
Oh.
And
who's Ray Mendoza?
He did Civil War. They made Civil War together. That came out like in March or April.
What did Ray Mendoza do?
He wrote the film.
Because Garland wrote and directed it,
didn't
he?
So he co-wrote it with Ray Mendoza. Because Ray Mendoza is a war veteran, Iraq war veteran. So that's where you get the influence of all this, the war antics that go on in that film.
So Civil War was incredible.
Yeah.
It was one of the more underrated, underappreciated films of the year.
Yeah. And this new one's called Warfare, and it's got Neo Centennial, Charles Melton, Joseph Quinn from Gladiator 2.
Right.
And the trailer comes out today.
Okay. Damn. All right, we'll look after that one.
Cool.
Hey, did you guys see Austin Butler will be Patrick Bateman in Luca Guadagnino's interpretation of American Psycho.
Yes.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice.
Yeah. Very good choice. He's such a good actor.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
A really Elvis-sounding Patrick Bateman.
Let's see what I've got. Hey, did you guys see Aardman, so the studio behind Wallace and Gromit, is doing some sort of collaboration with Pokemon.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say some sort of, because it's all quite secret.
Exactly, yeah. They've just, like, they're collaborating on something. We don't know what it's going to be. But I think that's a good alignment of companies.
I wonder if
in terms of, like, their vibe and their tone and all that stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be a little stop-motion clay with...
I'm sure it'll be, like, it'll definitely be something stop-motion.
It'll have to be in their style, and but it'll just be Pokemon in their style.
Whether or not it's a movie or a series or, like, a one-off special...
Oh, interesting.
Who knows right now?
I just love the fact that the boldness of that tease...
Mm.
Yeah,
yes.
That it was simple and easy enough so that the three of us could go, ooh,
yes,
yeah.
But I don't know. You know, you would think every instinct in your marketing brain would be like, you got to tell people it's a TV show.
Yes.
And it's like, don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't quite know what it is. That's cool.
I'm curious how that's going to work because their style is actually quite like malleable to different things. Like they did in that Star Wars Visions series of shorts, Aardman did one of those.
Oh, I didn't
and it
know
like
that.
Like their style like suits it surprisingly
that's
well.
That's cool.
It's really fun.
Hey, did you guys see the new Disney Plus TV show set in the world of Inside Out?
Oh, yes. Dream Productions.
Yeah, it's called Dream Productions. It's just 4 episodes, so it's a limited series.
Okay.
And here we meet the team that helps create her dreams.
Yes.
Which I think is cool.
Yeah, it's a fun idea. Cool.
Yeah, it's like to play in the fantasy of
so
that.
We get a little glimpse
now.
Of that in the movie in Inside Out 2. Of like that team that like makes the dreams.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a fun sequence.
Yeah.
It was a really fun sequence. Good idea. Very creative.
Yeah, so I think that's cool. It's called Dream Productions.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fun.
Hey, did you guys see that the Superman trailer, James Gunn's Superman trailer, is coming out this week?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Already?
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah.
Luck.
Well, it's coming out in July, so hopefully we get some some content from it.
Oh, yeah, I'm pumped about that. I'm a little indifferent, but I could totally see why someone would be very excited for it.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Because James Gunn, if you look at what he's done before, I don't know... I think it's going to be very different for James Gunn, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't... necessarily turn it into the sort of quirky Guardians of the Galaxy humor. Mm.
I think it's going to be very like sincere and very like kind of old fashioned in a way.
Yeah,
I think that's just like the approach he's going to take to that character.
He seems to have been celebrating the Christopher Reeves documentary. Was he involved in that?
I don't know.
I think he was just a producer.
But he's been pushing that. Like constantly posting to remind people about the kind of Christopher Reeves Superman.
Yeah,
you can see he's passionate about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a good way to, also just keep people remembering Superman.
Yes.
Because I feel like we've forgotten Superman a bit.
Mm.
Even in the Man of Steel era, like I don't think it was as
never
like,
quite landed.
It wasn't like, fuck, this is dominating. Like we all give a shit.
Such a different vibe to what everyone knew Superman to be like in media, I would say.
Oh, those Man of Steel ones.
Yeah, the Man of Steel ones.
Because they were quite dark. Like literally
dark,
it was a dark blue.
Yeah. Yes.
it was a very dark
filter on it.
Thing, yeah. Okay.
This is a little one. Hey, did you guys see? A few weeks ago, Perrin spoke about a documentary called Hayao Miyazaki and the Heron.
Yes, he mentioned it.
It's now on Netflix.
Is this the one that starts with him naked?
I have no
what?
Idea.
Okay,
I just
I
know
saw
it's,
something.
It's about the production of The Boy and the Heron. But Perrin watched it on HBO Max. It's now on Netflix, so we can watch it as well.
Okay. So I saw something on the internet that made me want to now watch it. It's
really?
Like, it's something like... Are we going to get a Miyazaki documentary? Yeah, and it's like, how about we start it with him being naked and we have to pixelate out his junk? And the guy was like, done. So that's obviously like a scene that happens quite early on. Did you see that The Wild Robot is now the most nominated film ever at the Golden Globes?
Really?
Animated film.
Wow.
I think it has to be the animated film.
Damn.
Yeah,
I didn't even know I was paying attention to the nominations.
Yeah. It had competition this year as well.
Yeah,
but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. This one's for GAD. Hey, did you guys see that they're doing a Malcolm in the Middle revival?
Yeah, that's on my list too.
Yes. Oh yeah, it's like a 4-episode run. Yeah.
This is all the original cast coming back. Disney Plus, 25 years since it first aired, 18 years since the season finale.
Right.
Yeah, I can't believe they got Frank Muniz to come back after him saying he's just, I'm going to race now, I'm done acting.
Yeah.
That's just so cool to me.
He seems like a really cool dude.
Oh, yeah, he seems very, like, quite planted for someone who was as famous as he was for a while. Yeah.
I grew up with Cody Banks. That's, like, my favorite one of his films. I love that movie.
I was way too old for that when it came out, but I could very much appreciate how cool that was.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like, just being a kid, knowing this guy's a spy at my age, that's so cool.
Lovely. We've got, when we have guests pop into the video store, we've got the four great loves, which we sometimes try and get out of them.
Yes.
And so there's the puppy love film, the high school crush, It's Getting Serious, and then the film You'd Marry. So would you say that maybe Cody Banks was your, like, puppy love film?
Like
primary school era film.
Wow.
Or were you in high? You weren't in high school. How old were you with Cody Banks?
When did that come out? Like 2004? Yeah, I was 5 years old.
That's your puppy love film. Did you guys see Sebastian Stan is nominated for Best Actor for both of his performances?
Oh, awesome.
For the drama category, because it's interesting that Golden Globes do split up the idea of dramatic acting and more comedic musical acting.
And honestly, sometimes their choices don't make a lot of sense.
Totally. But
like
sometimes,
The Martian, like what is that?
Yeah, that was the famous one, right? Yeah, where everyone was like, is this a comedy?
Yeah.
It was a comedy.
It certainly had its funny moments.
But he had to lean to comedy as opposed to leaning into drama. But with old Sebastian Stan, in drama, he's nominated for The Apprentice.
Yes.
And for musical comedy, it's for A Better Man, which seems more dramatic.
Is he in A Better Man? Is he...
This is the one with the face.
Yeah. Oh, that's a different man.
A different man.
Sorry,
who's he playing in A Better Man?
Better Man. I'm getting confused. Fuck, man. Better Man is the Robbie Williams film.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
we've spoken about it quite a lot.
Tickets are on sale for screenings in January at the Bioscope. And it's also very conveniently timed around Robbie Williams being in the country.
Yeah, it's like right in the middle of his tour.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so the moment the distributor announced this, I put the two together and I emailed them back immediately. And I was like, whatever you are planning, I'm in.
I want in, yeah.
I want in. We talk about, we said at the start of the show, the fact that we do these special preview screenings.
Yes.
I mean, they would have to at least give a crack.
Yeah.
To doing a special screening where he would be in attendance.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
I mean, that has to happen. Well, I mean, they would at least be trying.
Like the stars are aligned, really.
Cool. Is there any other big ones?
Nah, I'm all out.
Okay. Should we start talking about some TV? Yeah. Vash, you got something?
I got the season finale of The Day of the Jackal ended last week.
Okay. Have you been watching it?
I have.
Okay. So let's get into TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Day of the Jackal is over on?
It's on. So it's a Sky TV. So I'm assuming it would be on Showmax.
Okay. But we're not sure at this point.
Yeah, we're not sure. I think it was on Mnet for sure. I've been watching it online on my VPN. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. No. But it's.
This is Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne, I can't remember the actress's name.
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne, who we know from, what do you call them, Graham? You've got your name for the fantastical beasts.
Magical Animals.
Magical Animals.
The Magical Animals.
Magical Animals. Yeah. They're in the briefcase.
Yeah, but he's so good
as
an actor.
He's awesome.
Theory of Everything, where he played old Stephen Hawken. He's a delight.
Yeah, this is very different for him too, because it's an espionage action. I've never seen him in an action film before.
Okay.
And he just does such a good job. And I was doing research on The Day of the Jackal because I've never seen the films. And
It's based on a series of films?
Yeah, so there was a 1970s version of the film it's based on a book.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
But the film in the 70s, and then there was a Bruce Willis one in the 90s.
Just called The Jackal.
Yeah.
I remember that
one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Very cool. Like, just intricate, like, weapons. Like, the stuff you don't really see in spy movies, these gadgets and stuff like that nowadays. And it's awesome. I loved it.
Okay,
it
so it's going to wrap up soon.
It's done.
It's done.
The whole series is out. It just got renewed for season two.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
I have been watching the Is It Cake holiday special.
Oh, boy.
Hey, come on. Fuck, man. I told you about some of the pain we had last week with overheating projectors.
Jesus.
And oaks are tired. You can just feel it, man. Yeah. You can just feel it. Like, our oaks that work at the Bioscope, like, they work hard, you know, but you can just see, like, yeah, with the heat as well. Oaks are tired. Dude.
Mm.
And, you know, end of the year, start looking to the December.
Yes.
This is when we're going to take our little break. So every year, the Bioscope will close for 2 weeks.
Mm.
It is entirely my decision.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mm, I even have some staff saying, like, no, they would be happy to keep working. But yes, it's like, I need this for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to live with that pain of, like, and what temperature is our projector on now? Yeah. And is it rising? And if it hits this, we have to call the screening. And
yes,
what do you mean there's no electricity? And, like, right now, as we're talking, there's no water in most That's of Joburg, yeah, including, you know, our neighborhood. Jeez. At the Bioscope. So it's like, it's all about fetching and carrying, like, you know, bottles of water. Like, I'm tired.
Yes.
So when you're tired, you just want to watch a fucking simple, simple show where you are staring at objects of real life things that could or could not be made of, yeah, cake.
Very binary. That's all you need.
Yeah. It is fucking delightful. So this is the All Stars, Graham. There's been about four seasons now, okay, three or four seasons.
There's lore. Yeah.
And you've actually come to know these folk. Like, for example, there's like a cute little Asian woman that, right, like really just worms her way into your heart.
Mm.
Then there's this like fucking tall, like Sikh guy, you know, so he's got a turban, very gentle,
mm,
like possibly, probably gay. Do you know what I mean? Like, gives that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But not from this kind of big, tall,
mm,
character that this, you know, that would have been traditionally quite conservative household.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this bro has dedicated his life to making cake. And you really come to know these people because, mm, they also reveal a lot of their vulnerabilities over, yeah, the course of these seasons. So you really get to know them. And so it was cool that a group of them have come together now to just do a fun thing for, okay, the holidays. And of course, it's all themed around holidays.
Yes.
It's delightful.
It's awesome.
So that is over on Netflix. Is it cake? Get on it.
There you go.
It's a good one for the holiday season.
Cool. I've been watching over on Prime Video. There's a series called Secret Level.
Oh, yeah. You spoke about it.
Yeah. Yes. So this is a series of shorts based on video games. Each episode is based on a different video game. They've released the first 8 episodes. It's going to, yeah, be 15, I think.
Yeah, the next tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Jeez, like, okay.
Where is it? Sorry,
thought Prime.
Prime.
Okay,
yeah. Prime,
you've been video. Watching that.
Yeah, I have. I'm a big video gamer, so I love the AAA games. So I don't
What's
know
what triple A game.
High budget,
big budget, big studio,
yeah, story driven games. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from the same guys who made Love, Death, and Robots. So it's Tim Miller and that group of creative people. It's a bit of a mixed bag. Okay. Some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
Some of them I'm just like, okay, I've never been a fan of Warhammer. I don't know about you.
Same. I mean, I just got into it because Space Marine 2 came out.
So oh, okay.
I've been looking at it. There's like years and years of
so dense
material that you have to like look up on. So, I mean, the episode was really cool. Mm-hmm. I just really wish I knew like why all of this
why
was happening.
Anything, yeah. This is the thing this is the problem that I had with a few of them is, they're kind of telling a story that's on a very big canvas in a very short period of time.
I was about to say, because I have no idea what you guys are talking, yeah, about. Like, would I even give a shit or care or like?
I think you'd like the Pac-Man one.
The Pac-Man one is incredible. Yeah. It is wild.
It's very creative.
It's one of those ones where I wish they hadn't put a title up front.
Yeah.
So you're watching and going, what is this? I don't know what game this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the very end.
Oh, that could be a fun device.
Yeah. Because at the end you realize, oh, they put in everything that is in Pac-Man.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like
it's
Pac-Man.
Told in a sort of realistic
it's
way.
Fascinating. Yeah. Way. It's fascinating.
Very cyberpunk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Armored Core episode was okay.
Yeah.
Again, it's the same problem. So Armored Core is a big mech game, basically. But at the same time, I'm going like, it poses so many questions. Like, who is this guy that's played by Keanu Reeves? And like, why does he have a voice in his head? Like, yeah, there's a voice talking to him in his head, but it doesn't answer any of these questions.
And what game is it for?
Armored Core.
Armored Core, yeah.
So it's a big mech fighting game. similar problem with the Dungeons and Dragons episode.
Yeah.
Like, that was like a feature-length movie idea that they squashed into like 14 minutes.
Which irritates you a little bit. Like, oh, I want more.
Because it's cool and it looks like incredible. Like, it looks like almost photorealistic. It's all CG. Everything is completely animated.
Because they could have maybe been longer episodes, but they just happened to be short.
They almost feel like, in some cases, they almost feel like they're like shadow pilots. Like, they're saying, let's see which ones stick.
And maybe we can make a series.
Maybe. Okay. I've never even heard of New World. I don't know what that game is. But that episode was such a jam. I loved that one.
So this is apparently
I think it's an MMO. It's like an MMORPG game. And it takes place on an island where everyone's immortal. So this guy who's like trying to conquer this place washes up after a like a shipwreck. Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, this is just going to be like boring, generic fantasy. But it's like the funniest thing. Because it's just this arrogant prick who's trying to, like, prove that he's the best, and the king that he's trying to, like, defeat just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting killed over and over and over and over again. And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's freaking hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, as the main guy.
Yeah.
That's
he's
cool.
He's really funny. I was like, okay, this is going to be boring, like, fantasy thing, but it's, like, a straight-up comedy, and I loved it. And it's got a very sweet ending.
So the video game is made by Amazon. So that's why it's in the series.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And the immortal thing is part of the DLC that they're marketing for. So it's a little area in the game that they're talking about.
What is a DLC?
A DLC. So DLC. Like downloadable content. Yeah, so it's just an addition to the video game that you can pay to get access to.
Okay, it's like a different kind of arena, different kind of concept within the game.
Yeah. Okay, I think the episode that surprised me the most was the Unreal Tournament episode.
Oh, I was so excited for that one.
I didn't know what to make of it because I'm like, Unreal Tournament is completely non-narrative. There's no story. Unreal Tournament is just a multiplayer, two teams. It's, you know, one team tries to kill the other team. So I'm like, how are they going to make a story about this? Mm. And they make this freaking cool story about like a robot uprising, like rebellion story, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I was so into that one, which I didn't expect at all.
Well, maybe that'll get its feature film
debut. I'd love to see that. Like,
show debut.
But like the other thing about this one is like the story they tell works within like the limitations of the time frame. Like they told a story that works in like 15 minutes, which a lot of the others kind of struggle to do. I was like, this one actually like works. It has like your beginning. It actually has like an ending where you go, cool, that's the end of the story. But you could also like pick up from that point and like continue to tell the story, which is cool. Okay. And they make you like really invest in a robot that doesn't speak and has no face.
Yeah.
But they managed to like...
How do you think the games are involved in this? Do you think they just license it? Or do you think they just stoked that they get one? Or is it a big marketing ploy to get you into these games?
I actually have no idea.
So I think... So the Pac-Man one is marketing a new game mode from Bandai Namco.
They just announced the game at the Game Awards.
When I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh... The episode makes sense now.
Exactly.
And then...
because this could be a good economics for games.
Yes. Exactly.
That if you get into a new season of Secret Level, you can be teasing something that you are then later going to release.
Oh, I really hope there's a new Unreal Tournament. It's been years. It's been decades.
Yeah, it's been a long time. New one. Okay. But like, there's also other weird cases. Like there's an episode coming up for a game called Concord, which doesn't exist anymore.
Depressing.
It came out... It got bad reviews, very few people played it, and Sony just killed it instantly.
And there's an episode
I've heard about Concord. I've heard about the story of it.
It's so bizarre. Like, I don't understand. Like, a lot of times games will come out, they won't be super well received, but then they'll kind of, like, keep working on them.
Yeah, like movies,
Yeah, exactly. They'll, like, kind of keep working on them and, like, build them up and, like, build a community around them. And sort of, in this game, came out, wasn't well received, and they just killed it. And it was, like, a massively expensive game.
Yeah.
It cost, like, $200 million or something.
One of their most expensive exclusives.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just, I've heard about that.
They just killed it. It's so bizarre.
Interesting.
I have no idea what Sony was thinking there.
Sure. Anything more to talk about on that? Can I talk about something vastly different?
No.
So, Vash, I don't think you know this. Graham, I think you've got some idea. The woman I'm married to, Leslie, is a horsey girl.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And in the world of horses, you don't ever sort of stop loving them. And it's a very deep, it's a very interesting love. It's something, as a starting point, very similar to how you would love a dog.
Yeah.
But it's a bit more like... Intimate's the wrong word, but it's like there's a closeness. Imagine if you could ride your fucking dog.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, imagine if you could go on adventures with you on your dog's back. Like, it would be fucking awesome. And so a lot of what you do in the world of horse riding involves a very kind of close connection and a communication. So anyways, she is a horse girl. She started in the world of show jumping, but then as I met her, she had started playing horse polo.
Oh, okay.
Why I'm telling you this is because there is a new polo series on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
In the vein of The Drive to Survives and okay. the Full Swings and say, all of
a,
that.
Is it a documentary series?
It is a docuseries about the sport.
Cool.
What makes it quite special is that it is executive produced by old Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They entered into a really big Netflix agreement. And this is, I think, the last of what they sort of had to produce.
Oh. What else have they made for them?
They did a couple of other little things. Okay. But I think for the most part, it hasn't been the successful collaboration everyone thought.
Yes.
Because I think they make for good news. Yeah. And, but, you know, Jesus, there's only so much you can do. So
I know they had a deal with the Obamas as well, but nothing's come of that.
Yeah. I think you get the impression where it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And it's like, Harry's like, well, I play polo, so we can do polo. And everyone's like, all right. But I thought, instead of speaking too much about the show, I thought I could give you guys just a little insight into polo. Because I think it's a very interesting sport. And I'd love to explain how it actually works and how it's remarkably different from everything we know, which I think is very interesting. Okay, so for starters, in the world of horse riding, we've long since made this joke between myself and Leslie that if this was a school, the jocks and the cheerleaders would be the show jumpers, right? It's that's the gold standard, prim and proper. They're the popular ones. That's the obvious one. Polo players would be like those skateboarder, motocross, fucking shucka bruh, let's go fucking build ramps. Like, that's polo. So the world of polo and the people who play horse polo aren't the fancy-pantsy people that sit on the side when they then have polo games.
Right.
And I think that's what's been very cool to present to people, because I've now come to know Leslie and her friends, and I've watched these polo tournaments, and I really loved the rough and tumbleness of these folks. They are very wealthy people, because you can't actually play polo or be involved in polo if you have no money.
You can't go get a cheap secondhand horse.
Because, because you use somewhere between 4 to 6 horses in the duration of one game.
Oh, okay.
You swap constantly to look after the horses. So they could be either your horses or horses you rent, but it gets very costly for everyone involved. But they tend to be very kind of cool, as I said, rough and tumble people.
Yeah.
And then the irony is that when you then do these polo tournaments, a whole bunch of sort of hoity-toity influencers come with their fancy hats, and there's this culture of that.
Mm.
But the two are completely against each other.
Right.
So I think, and I'll just get into it, and I'll just touch on the show as we go. Mm. This is over on Netflix again, and it's just called Polo. Is that I think they failed to kind of show that.
Right.
They sort of wanted to make it scandalous and glamour and the lives of but so they didn't quite nail it.
Okay.
But I think what's interesting, and I thought I could tell you guys this, is that because so few people are able to play it, the game has evolved in a very interesting way.
Right.
Where similar to Formula One, you have these wealthy people that put these teams together. So the big teams are kind of corporate teams.
Right.
And similar to Formula One, you can get your kid and you raise your kid and your kid can play in the game. But these kids tend to be very talented. Also, I think it's interesting that out of every country in the world, Argentina is the best by far polo country in the world.
Wow.
It's because of the flat fields and this culture of having horses on your farms have raised this kind of culture of, like, unquestionably the best in the world.
Okay.
Like, by a mile. But what's interesting is that you have these wealthy people, and they're called the patrons.
Right.
And they don't, it's not like Lance Stroll in Formula One, whose dad pays for him to be on the team, but the dad sits on the sideline.
Yes.
In polo, these patrons play.
Oh.
So you have like a somewhat average Joe.
Yes.
in the team, on the field,
right,
playing the game with the best.
Yes.
Which I think is bizarre. So imagine Chicago Bulls with like the average athletic dude.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But because he pays, he gets to play the game.
That's awesome.
Like, it is so wild, and it is so remarkably different from any other sport.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that happens in polo is that you've got to average your team out. Everyone's got a handicap.
Okay.
And similar to golf, so that, but it's a little bit more like you rewarded your handicap, not based on your actual statistics like golf. It's more like a karate. If you get awarded the yellow, if you now like deserve the belt.
Okay.
So it's like a committee decides on your handicap.
Right.
You start at minus, it's the opposite of golf, and you go up. The highest you can get is a 10, a 10-goal polo player. And there's only like five to 10 in the world.
Wow.
And what's interesting about this sport and this this show is that you get to see like the greatest of all time.
Right.
And I think that's cool. His name is Adolfo Cambioso.
Oh.
Argentinian. Okay. And I think that's cool. And what I think is interesting about that is, unlike golf or perhaps nowadays people talk a lot in football, like who's the greatest of all time?
Yeah, there's a debate.
And it's like, is it Messi or is it Ronaldo? It's like, there is no question that it's this fucking Adolfo dude.
Because like, the sport is so small, you get to see the whole thing.
But also, he just happens to have been fucking exceptionally good. Yeah. So it's like, there's just no question.
Oh, awesome.
So it's quite cool to get into him and his son.
Right.
And his son is now currently the greatest in the, is currently ranked number one.
Oh, okay.
So that's also quite a unique thing that you've got a father and a son that are both equally as good. But you have to average your teams out. There's just four people in a team, and based on your different handicaps, you've got to equal an even amount. You can't go higher than a certain level. So you can't just have four players all at 10 goal. You can't have a 40 goal team.
Okay.
You have to find an even. So you've got these like 10 handicapped players playing with like a zero.
Right.
But the zero is there because he's paying for everyone. It's wild.
Okay.
It's super interesting. I don't know whether the show entirely nailed it.
Okay.
I don't know whether the show entirely focused at all on the bond between the players and the horses.
Okay.
So like someone like Leslie, for example, gives me like the personality of her horse.
Okay.
Her horse is called Fire, and she's got this like deep love in particular for Fire. And she's like, Fire worked so hard. She was so excited, and she's got lots of energy, and they're smaller horses.
Mm.
And they're quick and they're nimble, and she looks after Fire. She cares and she loves for Fire. They didn't quite show that.
I wish they did.
Yeah.
You can feel a connection really well in a series.
And I think it would make you give more of a shit.
Exactly.
Because, because you watch this whole show and you watch these four or five seasons and you almost forget they're on fucking horses.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Like they're doing the wildest shit, but it's like they're on an animal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in Formula One and in Drive to Survive, so much of that show is about the relationship between the driver and the car.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just did this, or it's not doing that, or we just got to make this better. And they tweak and they talk about their driving of the car.
Mm.
And at no point in the show do they talk about like the driving of this horse. They never made any horse in the whole show a character.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's like, there's this particular horse.
Mm.
So it's almost like it's made by Harry, or it was overseen by them, and they probably don't have any relationship to their horses. They probably don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And so it just lost a little bit of heart in that regard.
Yes.
But I just think polo is just, it is super exclusive, and it's very small and insular.
Yes.
That it is quite cool to watch a show to get into it.
Okay.
Hmm. You've got like the Prince, you know, Meghan Markle, and you've got like, there was one other game with like Serena Williams attending, but they literally are sitting on the boot of a car on the side of the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very casual, but, and this is the highest level. Obviously, the final gets played with all the hoity toity.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just, it's an interesting very different, very unique sport.
Isn't it a very dangerous sport? Like, it has a very high rate of injury.
Totally. And in the over the course of this show, so this show uses the US Open and the tournament of the US Open to sort of bookend the structure of the show. Over the course of this tournament, the one main funder, patron, like, goes into a coma.
Jeez.
What?
It's hectic.
That is wild.
No, it is wild. And I, at the start of my relationship with Leslie, she kept going like, look at my bruise. I've got a new bruise here. And I was like, Leslie, I was like, sweet pea, do whatever you can in every opportunity you can to tell your parents like how loving and gentle I am. Like, I need you to build. I was like, I need you to build this narrative.
Yes.
Just be like, just whatever chance you have, just be like, Russ is so gentle and loving. Yeah. So that, like, no one could ever accuse me of causing any of these bruises. Because it's like, this is all fucking you. Like, you're the one that's creating all this.
Yes.
It's wild.
Yeah.
No, they bash into each other, but she has a back brace, knee pads, everything. But she's got that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the feeling that her horse has the same attitude. Like, Leslie would be down to like skydive. Do you know what I mean? She's one of those people. Like, she's parasailed on, you know, what's the thing on Lion's Head? You know, where you jump and you got the parachute? What's that called?
I don't even know.
It's paragliding.
Yeah. I see it all the time when we go to Cape Town. You see them like wafting down from Lion's Head.
Okay. That looks so scary.
I mean, I whatever never. You pay to do that, I would pay that to not do that.
Yeah.
It's like my life is fulfilling.
Yeah.
Like, I love my life. As we said earlier, I get to watch movies with my chums.
Exactly.
I get to play in a band. I get to put on cool events at the Bioscope. Like, I do not need to jump off a fucking mountain in a parachute.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to do that. But she's that kind of person that, like, when we went to Sicily, she wanted to get up to Mount Etna because part of it was erupting, and she, like, wanted to see lava.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm really glad she got us up there. It was very cool to be on the top of the mountain. Sadly, we couldn't see any lava, but it was like there was.
Oh yeah, it was about to come
coming up.
Yeah.
Right. But no, polo is very much that kind of sport.
Yeah,
the people who do it, like all her friends and a lot of them are really good people. So it's a bit misunderstood because I think it is just so insular. I've taken such great joy in bringing folks. I know I've brought Cole to one of the polo tournaments. As they come, I invite a friend here or there to just experience it.
Yes.
Because it's a very cool thing to see.
Yeah, I didn't know that we did it over here. I just recently saw a clip in Cape Town.
It is small, but it is wild. We stay in Sandton, myself and Liz, and like literally, you know, just across is Ananda, which is the Sandton, and it's one of the rare polo clubs in the world that are actually in the middle of a city.
Okay.
So you honestly, you have like 100 horses, horse shit everywhere.
In the middle of the city.
In the middle of Sandton. And behind them are these like skyscrapers.
You would never notice.
Yeah. Skyscrapers. It's wild. Weird. It's such a weird little thing. Most of them are in the outskirts. Like there is a country base, which is in Kyalami.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I drive past all these horses, but I never see them play polo. They're just all there.
Most of them are probably these like show jumping horses.
Yeah, for sure.
Polo horses are little. They are by definition more pony.
Right.
Okay. And you could see they're these like little motocross bikes.
Yes.
And they only have like two or three sharp turns in them at a game. And then you got to swap them out.
Jeez.
You got to keep them like safe and fresh. Yeah. So yeah, Polo on Netflix. It was cool. I'm glad I watched it. I had obviously a very special experience
because
I had a commentator going like, oh, look at that. And like, they did this and they, you know.
Yeah.
Another little fun fact is that every time one scores a goal, you swap.
Okay. Oh.
And it's based
on the whole field.
You swap every time you score a goal. So it is quite hard to follow if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's some orientation right there.
Because usually in rugby and soccer, you get quite used to like, okay, we're going right.
Yeah.
You know, and your brain's like, come boys, let's get right, let's go. Here you're like, wait, who the fuck, what?
Yeah.
And it's because there was a tradition of them playing on hills where it's unfair.
Okay.
And so there was a culture of like, okay, we got to swap every time we score a goal.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And now they just do it for the sort of traditional.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
This is cake and polo. I've kept things relatively light. Speaking of light and heartwarming, new season of Queer Eye.
Oh.
Started on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Are you into Queer Eye, Vash?
I've never heard of it until just now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm not a series guy. I think
okay.
I do enjoy my limited series.
Okay.
So I'm
all
one
right.
of those guys.
Do you remember or had any point in culture picked up Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm very out of the loop on series.
Okay. So no, it was a famous reality TV show, what felt like probably at the start of reality TV. Yeah. And it was this idea that there would be a team of queer guys that would help help a straight guy like learn fashion, learn about hygiene,
cool. yeah.
learn about all these things. And it was a quirky thing. I never watched that. Then they lost the for a straight guy.
Okay.
And now the show is called Queer Eye.
Okay.
This is now like season 7 or 8.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you, dude, I'm a straight guy.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with that. Queer Eye is one of the most special TV shows you could ever watch.
All right.
For fucking humanity. For what it means to be alive, what it means to be in the world.
Oh, awesome.
Because what it is people get nominated, and obviously the show is very good at picking the right subject. Mm-hmm. But these are often people who are perhaps best days behind them. They're old. They're like stuck in a rut. It's not always about age. It's not always about whether they look good or not. It's often people that are just stuck at a point in their life, and they're doing so good for everyone else. They're not looking after themselves.
Wow. Wait, that's cool. That's
They've
awesome.
Lost all like confidence in themselves. They don't get out. They don't do things. They don't appreciate life. But you can tell, and they're obviously really good at picking these people. Mm. You can tell that they like are genuinely really fucking good people.
Mm.
And this team of like very cool, very charismatic, and in some cases very handsome dudes come in and change their life and just give them this step up that they didn't even know they needed. But like, you know, they're changing their life.
Yeah, like a sense of a path for them.
But just something as simple as like helping them with the house and like, you know, because often these people have messy rooms and like, and it's clumsy and it's on top of each other. And you can just see that they would never have been able to afford to do it, both literally and figuratively. And then these guys come in. We spoke a while ago on the video store about another TV show called Say I Do, which was about a similar thing. And it was about creating a wedding for people that like deserved a wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that sounds like it's right down my alley.
Yeah, so there was a dude on that show called Jeremiah who stuck out because he was, and myself and Cole were like, this is one of the handsomest men you've ever seen in your life. But handsome, not just physically, just he seems like a really great dude.
Yeah.
Right.
He's now joined the team of Queer Eye.
Okay.
After watching many seasons, you get to know these dudes.
Mm.
Tan does fashion and Anthony does food and like Karamo does like culture, which is more like mental health and your mental state.
Yeah.
And there was a dude called Bobby who you came to know who always did the house. Bobby, interestingly enough, is not in this season.
Okay.
And it was because they actually all thought they were done. And like Bobby moved on and like started other things. And then they all came together and were like, let's do another season.
Okay.
And he was like, fuck, I can't do it. Or I don't want to.
Right.
And so it's so cool that they brought this Jeremiah guy in. Because you kind of get to see the process through his eyes because he's the new dude in the team. Because most often you are in tears at the end of an episode. We talk about the GUIs here on the video store. And let me tell you, that's fucking heartwarming as shit. By the end, you are a wobbly mess because you've spent a week with this person.
Mm.
and you're seeing their life change, you're appreciating it. And it's so funny when you got Jeremiah going, is it like this every time? And he's like, fuck, I don't think I can survive this season. It's so heartwarming.
I see. I'll keep that for when I need it, you know?
We've all got our like different things that we love in the video store, and I'm often being toted as the dude who loves the heartwarming stuff. Queer Eye just plays straight into it. And I think everyone must lose any preconceived ideas of like, is this going to be like very gay, you know, if you're not gay?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I like chicks. Would I like this show? It's got nothing to do with that.
I think if you're in media, you just got to be accepting of everything and just enjoy it.
Of course. Yeah. And you know, some of these guys have come from a history of, like Tan, for example, he's a British guy, but he's of Muslim heritage. And so he was like, I grew up in a very sort of conservative household and how it meant to come out to his parents. And he's probably in his like 40s, 50s. So, you know, when he was gay 20 years ago, that was perhaps quite a big deal.
Yeah.
And so that these people can very much empathize with their subjects who are struggling with identity or confidence or, you know, finding themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just like women that like get a chance to like be sexy again, you know, because like you often know that. And we had this lovely conversation on the video store with Deborah Darling. I think everyone must go back and listen to that episode where it's like a lot of women feel that they just get lost. They just disappear into the background because they're not sexy enough or they're not voluptuous enough or whatever. And it's a chance to just like, it's great. I cannot recommend Queer Eye enough.
Yeah, I mean, reality TV is tough for me to get into, but this sounds like it's really about the self-improvement of someone, and that's a lot more important than, I think, a lot of what reality TV shows, which is somewhat more entertaining
rather
than it's just helping.
It's a secret sauce, and it just makes it so much better. And like when we watched that Say I Do, because we were watching a lot of shit as we went into our wedding, myself and Leslie, the horsey girl. And so Say I Do was one of those shows which could have so easily been that vacuous.
You know, 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, like all that. Of that stuff is just so, it's that McDonald's burger that, you know, 10 minutes later you just feel horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
that.
What I mean? Like it just drains all the nutrients from your body. No, this is like a healthy dose of like mama's cooking. Do you know what I mean? Where you just feel like your belly's full and you just fucking like, that was delicious.
Awesome.
It's really
one
of those.
I'll give that a try for sure.
Cool. I'm all spoken out.
Tapped out.
Yeah.
Cool.
Should we close up shop?
I got one more.
Okay, let's hear.
I want to talk about. I'll stick with video games. I spoke about a video game show.
And you know, you got a buddy that you could talk video games with. Otherwise, you're just telling me about shit that I don't know anything about.
Well, now I want to talk about Indiana Jones.
Oh, I finished it.
Oh, have you finished it already? Good God. How?
Vash is a young man. We've established that he's considerably younger than us.
After work, I went straight into Don't Stop, wake up, go to work, come back, start it again.
Yeah. How long did it take you?
Took me 3 to 4 afternoons, I would say. But it was awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
So this is Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which is a new Indiana Jones video game. And it's really good, it turns out. I was like very skeptical about it because the trailers were not great.
Yeah, I agree.
It was coming from a developer, so it's Machine Games, who previously have done the last few Wolfenstein games, which are...
I remember Wolfenstein from the 90s.
Yeah. So these are like the more recent ones, and they're very like shooty-shooty, explosion-y sort of games. And I was like, how is this going to align with Indiana Jones?
Which I'd imagine is very strategy, treasure mappy.
It's much like, it's slower puzzle-solving. And I was like, I was really impressed. So I'm only about 10 hours into the game. I have not fired a gun once.
Yeah.
I like never use the gun because I never feel like
I don't know
why
they give
you a gun. He also
wasn't
much of a gun guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's that great interview with Harrison Ford where he's like, what am I going to do with a whip? And everyone's like, just shush, man.
Yeah.
Like, shush, you're going to whip people.
But I was thinking like, okay, how is like Machine Games style of video games going to like reconcile with Indiana Jones? And I was like, they just like shifted lanes entirely.
Yeah.
And I've managed to make this like game that works in terms of like Indiana Jones' style. And I like the way they're almost like Hitman levels. I don't know if you've played Hitman.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so they're like
very stealth.
Every level is like a kind of open space that you're kind of dropped into, and then you're given objectives and that sort of thing that you discover along the way.
Cool. I'd imagine that the story of Indiana Jones plays well.
It lends itself to that really, really well.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect story as well. It just feels like a movie.
It feels very like classic Indiana Jones. It's like the way he's written is like dead on. He sounds he's like exactly like
Troy Baker did the voice for it.
Dude, I'm exactly so like impressed. Harrison Ford. I am exactly.
Sorry, you say Troy Baker did the voice?
Yeah. For Indiana Jones. Yeah. And he sounds exactly like Harrison Ford. I actually thought it was Harrison Ford.
Okay, who is Troy Baker?
He's mostly a video game voice actor. He's done a ton of stuff. So he's like the main character in The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Okay.
He plays Joel. The Last of Us, yeah. He's in like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like to the point where people are like, can you maybe cast someone other than Troy Baker? Yeah. But, and like early on, it seems like they almost like deliberately chose lines early on where he sounded like the least like Harrison Ford. So I was like, I'm not convinced that he's going to pull this off.
But you know
but
what?
He nails it.
Sometimes humanity, you like need that voice that you know.
Yes. Mm.
Like Hugh Bladen is basically rugby for me. He's old bully that's always commentated the rugby.
Yes.
Like, that's what rugby sounds like. It sounds like that dude.
Yes.
He sat next to me at a restaurant once and I was like, oh my God.
It sounds
like I'm at the rugby.
It sounds like we're in a freaking war zone. Yeah. What the hell is that? It's a helicopter going to the hospital.
Or delivering like emergency water because we are in like post-apocalyptic Joburg.
Martial law.
Yeah. But like... India, like in terms of Troy Baker, it's not that if you listen to him side by side, I don't think he sounds exactly like Harrison Ford, but he matches like his cadence and his tone, like perfectly.
Yeah,
he sounds just the way that like his like Harrison and Ford. Yes,
it just works.
Speaking of Harrison Ford, it is worth touching on the fact that Shrinking has really done well in its latest season.
I've been waiting for it to finish so I can watch season one and two together. And I heard, because I'm a big How I Met Your Mother fan.
Yes. So yeah, Robin Scherbatsky makes an appearance.
I saw that. I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
We're now in season three.
Is there a third one? Okay.
We're now in season three.
Okay.
It's an amazing TV show.
Is it really season three?
I thought
it was just the second season that came
out.
But anyway, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Again, I'm only on to the second level, so I'm in Giza now.
Yeah. So
I'm like, so impressed. Like the level design's great, the story's great. Yeah. It looks incredible. That's good.
So I did research on it because I was wondering like why did they come up with this idea? And then I found out that Steven Spielberg and George Lucas helped with the story to make it like so they don't mess with canon with the films, because it takes place in between Raiders of the Lost Ark and
Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade. Yeah. And the tutorial is the first scene from the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
So you get to play that.
I can see the excitement on your face, Vash.
It's so cool. You know what I mean?
Like little boy excitement face. Sorry, Shrinking, we're not in season three.
Okay.
Sorry, this is season two.
Cool.
But Harrison Ford is in the TV show. Sorry, that's why I'm bringing it up. Delightful show. That really like... It's really sunk. It sinks your teeth in.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, both with drama and comedy, it grows on you in a great way.
Like, my personal opinion, I think comedy dramas or drama comedies, whichever way you want to say it, is probably the best genre for me.
Totally. And I think even in something like Scrubs was just such a great blueprint. And of course, this is the same guy behind it. It's a much more mature version of Scrubs in the sense that it's not as silly.
Yeah.
But it's
straight comedic.
But it's still got lovable, charming, quippy characters that you wish you had that friendship.
Yeah. Mm.
You wish you had that bond. And then the floor just gets like thrown below you and you're like, fuck.
I think every genre needs a little bit of comedy in it.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Like drama needs it to like break the tension of the drama. You throw a joke in there. Yeah. Horror as well. Yeah. Horror and comedy work so well together.
Yeah.
Because you can't just have constant horror because it gets tiresome.
It's a drag through the mud. You literally don't have space for it.
It stops being effective after a while. You just kind of get worn down by it. So you like throw a joke in there to break the tension.
I'll never forget doing like a series of short plays when I was in varsity where we had to act.
Right.
And everyone's doing this fucking dramatic shit. And I was one of the people that had to do a very dramatic scene. And I was like a bit drained.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, there was one person who chose to do a comedy. And everybody loved it.
Yeah.
And they probably laughed harder at this average comedic, comedic scene because they fucking needed it. Because they just had drama after drama.
Yeah.
And I think I told you, I eventually watched Manchester by the Sea because on one of the plane trips with the band, the one guy was like, Because I was like, oh, isn't it heavy? Mm. And the guy was like, yeah, but there's moments of comedy. You'll like it. And I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yes.
And then I ended up watching it.
Yeah.
I think the comedy, like, it lifts off that heaviness and then it emphasizes it when the dramatic scenes come in.
Of course, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've seen the series by Ricky Gervais, Afterlife.
I know of it. I watched a bit of it.
Oh, my. It hurts you, but it's so funny as well. Right.
There's that great moment in Afterlife where he walks past the school.
Yeah.
And the little, like, ginger kid, like, orange-haired little fella. He's like, pedo. And he's like, I'm not a pedo. He's like, you're a pedo. He's like, if I was a pedo, I wouldn't go after you.
Yeah, yes.
You little ginger C-word.
Yeah, literally.
It's so harsh.
Good Lord.
On that note.
Yeah.
No, it's lovely. Thanks, chaps.
Yeah.
Thanks for a lovely day. Vash, absolutely. It was so lovely to have you pop in.
Thank you. I love this. This is awesome. This is my first podcast ever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
cool. You're always welcome back.
And I love the Bioscope. This is my second time here, and I'm enjoying it. I'm coming every time now.
Nice.
Oh, thank you. I
hope to come
it.
Back to this. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, cool. I think this is what's nice about a video store. Exactly. It is the place that you can come to. Whenever it is movie night.
Yeah.
Magic. Thank you, Didi. Our home base is thevideostore.co.za. There's links to all the social media. So everything that we've chatted about today, please chime in. Let us know what you've been watching.
Mm.
And any hated you guys sees, you're welcome to post that literally anywhere and everywhere. we are going to do one more episode this week. Cool. Our plan, if it all goes together, is to have our friend Brett De Groot join us.
Oh, okay.
He is the star of, one of the stars of the big Disney's Magic Box show, which is over at the Teatro.
Yeah.
He's an incredible performer and doing this sort of big, new, exciting production.
Cool.
Which I think is very cool to talk about. And then we're going to be trying to execute our most rented episode.
Yes.
So, and then we'll close out with that for the year, and then we'll be back in Jan.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it's good times, man.
Cool.
Hope to still have you guys. And if you guys are doing these long road trips, hopefully we're keeping you company on those. Otherwise, if you're still in Joburg doing the commutes, I'm sorry. get on holiday. All right, cool. Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.